All right, so Joshua chapter 9. So stay there. So I want to stay there. I want to show you a verse. We've been doing our series, The Favorites, and so we've been doing like the J series. So we talked about Jacob, talked about Joseph, talked about Jeremiah. Now we're talking about Joshua. And this moment in history that we get to look back on and learn from. Did you ever studied history or hated history in school? They're like, why do I have to learn all this information? Why is this important for me? And so as you get older, kids, you're going to be like, I'm so glad I learned that. And so going to go back and relive some of that, rehearse some of that. And so we're going to look back at the nation of Israel in a very specific moment in time, but really not look at them, but looking at this group of people who made a huge decision at a strategic point in their history, and how Jesus kind of compares this a little bit to making a spiritual decision and understanding for us. So I want to take you to what Jesus is saying here in Luke 14. And so he says, suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? It's like, okay, are we able to fight against 20 even though we have 10? Are we willing to make sacrifices, or are we willing to count our losses and just make terms of peace? So he has to think about this whole thing, right? And so I got to sit down and count the cost, because it's not just my life at stake. There's the whole kingdom at stake. There's all these people at stake, the cities at stake, right? And so notice what Jesus says here. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Huh. So he uses this illustration to make a spiritual point. That's like, oh, wow. That's a really good one, Jesus. It's like, so what is he saying? He goes, that king has to surrender. If he's going to make terms of peace, he's got to surrender everything to the other king. Because he's not saying, hey, I don't want to go to war against you. Let's just make terms of peace. We'll serve you instead of go to war. And so he's like, that's a wise decision. And so Jesus is like, he commends that person in doing so, because he knows he's outnumbered, but he's weighing his options that are important options. And so for us as disciples of Christ, what does that mean for us? It simply means if we're going to follow Jesus, we got to be willing to surrender everything, because we got to come to understand everything we have is because of him. Amen. Our own life, everything that he's blessed us with, we're just stewards and managers of his blessings. That makes sense? So we've been blessed to be a blessing. And so we can't take nothing with us when we go, when we leave this planet, right? But we can leave things and we can store things up with that heavenly treasure that Jesus calls us to do. All right, and so I want to show you a map here of where Israel was at, where they were heading, and what they were going to face. And so remember where Jericho is at, then you have Gilgal. So Gilgal is the first city that they came to camp at as they crossed over the Jordan. So Joshua was like, hey, I'm going to take you guys across the Jordan. Moses is off the scene now. And so they have the courage to cross the Jordan, all the people, and they camp out at Gilgal. Well, their first city was to capture Jericho, right? The big walled cities. They marched around it 7 times and the walls collapsed and everything else, right? Remember that story? Well, their next city was Ai. It's like, Andy, artificial intelligence is in the Old Testament? Some of you guys just went, phew. It's like, what's AI? Talk to me about that later on. All right. And so they conquered AI, the next city, right? And so they burn it to the ground like God told them to do. And the next city in place was this place called Gibeon. So Gibeon was like, they're realizing, hey, we're next in line of just strategic thinking here and planning. They're coming west and we're right here. And so they're going to be coming after us. And what are we going to do? And so these other kingdoms, Hebron and Beersheba and all those other ones, were in alliance with each other to help protect each other and fight against each other, to go against Israel, as we're going to see in just a little bit. So there's alliances being made, but yet Gibeon was in this really tight spot. You ever been in a tight spot before? Everybody's like, yeah, I've been in a tight spot before. And so I got to make some decisions. I got to weigh my options here. And so in chapter 9, you see Gibeon understanding the situation. They were gathering intel, the correct intel that was needed. And so, plus they tracked what God was saying and doing through the nation of Israel at this moment. And they made a very wise decision to make a peace treaty. And so, if you think about it, they were thinking, you know, if they're taking one city one by one and conquering one area at a time, as we're going to see, these other countries are like, hey, we're going to go five against Israel, and we're going to conglomerate, and this alliance is going to come about, and Gibeon is stuck in the middle of it all. So they're like, torn this way, torn that way, and we're like, what are we going to do? And so they had to weigh their options. So notice chapter 9, verses 1 to 4 here. It says, when all the kings of the west of the Jordan heard about these things, those in the hill country, the western foothills, the entire coast of the great city of the Mediterranean, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to make war against Joshua and Israel. So the end of chapter 8 there, Joshua, they conquer Ai, and he gathers all the people. And he's reading to them the book of Moses all in one setting. So could you imagine spending an all-day Saturday reading the first five books of the Bible? That'd take a while. You better pack a lunch and dinner, right? And so you think our service is long? Go back in time, right? And so they probably sent people to spy out Jericho. Look what God did at Jericho. Let's go send people out to Ai and see what happened there. Hey, let's send somebody to Ebal and let them listen to the words that God is saying through Joshua. And they're taking it all in at this moment, and they're realizing we have to do something. There's a strategic decision that has to be made here. So what are we going to do? And so those made an alliance to go against Israel all at one time, not just one down at a time. Hey, let's come together and fight against Israel. But notice verse 3. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. And so in essence, they stopped for a moment. They called time out. It's like, hey, this is what's going on. We're gathering intel, and our alliance is over here wanting to do this, and we're in the middle of all of this. So what are we going to do? And so they're like, well, we have to think wisely here. Now in chapter 10, they were a royal city. They were a very strategic city, very large city, larger than Ai, had great fighting men. So they were counting all their pros and cons, right? And so that's what we do when we weigh a decision. If you go to the next slide there, that's what we do when we weigh a decision, right? You ever just weigh down? It's like, here's the pros and cons. Here's our advantages, our weaknesses, all this kind of stuff. And they're like, they're weighing their options. And so they're thinking, you know, if we break alliance, then that's going to make our friends mad. But this is what God said through Joshua. If they come our way, they're going to take down our whole city. They're going to capture us anyway. So why not make a treaty with them? Because we know they're undefeated and God is with them. You're like, they're pretty smart thinkers. Right? But we'll see how the story ends. And so they had this calculated move that they were going to do based on two things. Number one, they knew that God gave them victory over Jericho and Ai, and even they mentioned Og and Sihon and even Egypt. Plus, they said, God said that you were going to wipe us out, and so we're here to make a deal. Let's make a deal, right? Our lives are at stake and our future. And so they come to Joshua, and they had this little plan of, hey, we're going to bring oldie bread and cracked wineskins, and we're going to show them how poor we are. We're going to show them that we've come from a far country, even though they live nearby. So they didn't tell them all the details of their situation. So the thinking was, hey, let's go and just make a quick deal, a quick sale, before they find out all the details behind the scene. So they come to Joshua and they have all this moldy bread and they said, hey, try some of our sample, try it. And he's like, yeah, it's pretty bad. You know, you've come a far distance, you know. And so they didn't tell them the whole truth, but they were making terms of peace for a reason and quickly. Because their thinking was, if I tell them the whole truth that we're nearby and we're a large city, we got a great army, they're probably not going to believe us that we want to make terms of peace. So they led with deception. But Joshua makes the peace treaty. He makes this oath to them, hey, we will spare your city and people as we go by. And they're like, oh, thank you. Well, 3 days later, news gets out. It's like, hey, those people are from this city. It's a big city. They're large. And he's like, well, we got to go find this out if this is true. So they go and find out all the intel about Gibeon and what's going on there. And then the people get mad at the leaders. They get mad at Joshua. Why did you do this? Why did you make a deal with them? And Joshua was like, well, it's a win-win situation. God said in Deuteronomy 20, if a nation comes to us and seeks a peace treaty, we should do that. We should avoid war at all cost. They come to us with this. We're not going to them with it, right? And so he's like, this is a win-win situation. God's already said we can make terms of peace. But the people were more upset with the deception than anything, not the deal, right? And so all the army was like, hey, we don't have to fight for this one. They're surrendering to us. So everybody's lives are saved. We don't have to go to battle, right? And so the Gibeonites make this deal, and their lives were spared. They made this ruse, which means cunning, crafty move to spare their life, to be at the mercy of the Israelites at this moment. They thought, man, it's better for us to stay alive and serve and be part of what God's doing than die and lose everything. So it's a very important spiritual principle there. So when Jesus is saying, hey, you need to sit down and count the cost because your soul is at stake, your eternity is at stake. And if you're going to be a disciple of mine, you really need to think this through. Like two kings going to battle, what are you going to do? It's a strategic decision. Does that make based on correct intel, God's word, right, of what we're going to do. And so let's look at the response of the Israelites. So Joshua makes this deal with them, but the people behind the scenes of the nation were upset because they were deceived, right? And so they go to the city Gibeon, and they kind of forced their motive. Yes, we were deceptive. Yes, we lied. Because it says we feared for our lives. We knew what was going to take place, so we sought mercy and a treaty with you. But here's what they said. Please have mercy on us, but do with us whatever you wish. We just want to stay alive in our families. And Joshua's like, okay. He went to the people, and the people were like, hey, let's make them woodcutters and water carriers the rest of their life because of their deception, because of what they've done. And the people were like, we're good with that. We are good with that. Now you think about that for a moment. Would you be willing to cut wood and carry water for 6 days a week, every day for the rest of your life, all because you made a treaty and honored your life and your family's life? Wow. That's what they were willing to do. And so the people of Israel, they honored their word, they honored their oath, and the people of Gibeon honored their oath, and they became woodcutters and water carriers. But the picture here, remember Rahab in chapter 4, when God was taking over Jericho, remember the spies went in and God spared Rahab? And she was like, hey, I've heard of what God has done in Egypt, and I know you're coming here, but will you spare me and my family? And the spies were like, yes, because you hit us, we will spare you just like we promised. And so this was just a picture of something bigger, but the same principle, what happened to Rahab. That makes sense? She came to terms with peace. Now this whole city is coming to peace. And now they're willing to, we're willing to be part of your community, but we're willing to be woodcutters and water carriers for the rest of our life. And Joshua's like, not just for us, but for the temple. He made them serve at the temple, the woodcutter and water carrier. So if you understand Leviticus before, so the fire was to never go out on the altar. So it had to be constant wood every day, seasoned wood for that fire to keep burning every single day. So they needed woodcutters and water carriers for the priests to wash and all this kind of stuff. And so they served the temple. And so they're like, hey, since you understand what God has said, let's help you come to know him better. What's a better way to know him? Well, you got to serve him. You got to be around him. And what better way than to serve the temple? And they're like, we'll take that deal. For the rest of our life, that's what we'll do. Now, what's interesting when you study the rest of history, when you come to Saul, King Saul, after they had conquered, and Saul was the first king when they became a king over the whole land, Saul turned his back on Joshua's deal. And he went after the Gibeonites, and he tried to annihilate them. But God intervened. David became king, and then there was a three-year famine in David's reign right from the beginning. And David's like, God, what's going on? You've promised fruitfulness and prosperity. Why are you sending this famine? And God says it's because what Saul did to the Gibeonites. So even God is now honoring Joshua's deal that he made years ago with David. Wow. So David went to the Gibeonites and was like, hey, please forgive us. What can we do to make peace again? And the land prospered after they made that deal. But God honored these folks of their decision. Very interesting when you study this story. So, but God had a bigger plan. And so, remember, this was a Gentile nation now being brought in and under and serving along with the priest in the temple. So God's plan was always for Gentiles to come in and serve the Lord. It's a great illustration there, right? And so the people welcomed them in, but yet they forced labor for them because of their deception and their motive, right? And so, but their decision was, hey, our life will be spared if we make this decision. They sat down and counted the cost. I pray that millions across this world will come to the same conclusion as they did. We'll get to that in just a minute. Notice the response of their enemies. Well, the five were like, hey, we heard that Gibeon went over to Israel. So what are we going to do? And so they already made their move. What are we going to do? And so they made an alliance with themselves. It's like, we're going to go after Gibeon. Now remember in chapter 9, verse 1, they were going to go after Joshua and the nation, right? So now things had changed. Now they're going to go after Gibeon because of their breaking of their alliance to be with them. And so there's consequences to some of our decisions when we weigh those options, right? So just like yesterday, I went fishing and never been in the kayak fishing. And so planned this whole thing for weeks. There's going to be three of us going fishing and had a kayak. And so I borrowed a friend's kayak. And so we went fishing. But the guy's like, you know, I don't know if I want to go or not. It says it's going to rain. And which it did. It rained big time. And so I was looking all night. I was trying to get a hold of him. We were trying to plan. The other guy was going to go. And I was just like, man, why isn't the other guy going? Maybe he's calculating. He's weighing his options. I don't want to get soaked in the rain for an hour, right? I'll pass, right? And so idiot me, go, not going to say, but I go fishing and we just get, and I'm like, Lord, is this all worth it? And I caught that first smallmouth bass and God's like, yeah, it's worth it. Get soaked for that, right? So you got to make some decisions in life. Got to weigh our options. And so the response of their enemies was to go after not the nation of Israel now, but for the Gibeonites because of their breaking of their alliance. So Joshua, what is Joshua going to do? Now think about this. Remember, he promised, hey, we will not hurt you. But now their alliances that they broke are coming against them. So Joshua could have been like, you know, that's on you. You deceived us. You broke their alliance with them. You're going to have to fight. Even if you're outnumbered, you're going to have to fight. He could have gone there, but he didn't. Joshua steps in to save these people and their life. Even though it was 5 against 1, now 2 if Israel jumps in. Now think about it. Have you ever played 5-on-5 basketball? All right, we see basketball all the time, 5-on-5. 5-on-2, anybody played 5-on-2? It's like those odds are not good. Unless you got Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant on your team as the two, right, against 5. And so Joshua steps in now, and they do a 25-mile march overnight to get to Gilgal, from Gilgal to Gibeonite, to help rescue them. That's a long march, carrying your stuff in the dark, right? And so they march all night, and God's like, Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I'm going to give them over into your hands. You just keep going. So Joshua, what, they fight, and God does some amazing things to win this battle. The biggest miracle is, hey, this is the day that the sun stood still and the moon stopped for a day. Joshua's like, can you help us, Lord? This miracle story, would you just cause the sun to stop so we can keep fighting? And God's like, I can do that for you. So these people's lives will be spared. These Gentile lives. Now think about what Jesus did for us on the cross. Was there anything in the cosmos taking place when Jesus died for us? Yes. At high noon, what took place? The sun turned black. The moon, blood red. In the middle of the day. Because Jesus fought a battle we could not win. And everything was lined up. Sun, the moon, his death. For our salvation, Jesus stepped in for us when we didn't deserve it. All we did was ask for help, ask for mercy, ask for, hey, can we make a peace treaty between us? And so God sent this huge victory, threw them into confusion, large hailstones, sun and moon, and all 5 kings captured. Then in chapter 10, Joshua gathers all the 5 kings and he tells his leaders, hey, go put your feet on the necks of all those guys. Picturing they were defeated, right? Picturing defeat. We surrender. We're defeated. And then Joshua tells them what God told him in chapter 1. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Be strong and courageous. Isn't that amazing? What Joshua was once afraid of, now he's conquered, and now he's telling other people who face moments, hey, you be strong and courageous now too, right? It's amazing once you start seeing momentum, which they had. Hey, God's promised to do what he's going to do, and he does it. Man, we're on a roll. You ever have that favor, that blessing? It's like, man, it just keeps going. And it builds your faith. And you're like, man, there's nothing God can't do, right? I've seen him do this and this. What's these 5 against 2 about? That's nothing. And so they fought and won this huge battle. God fought for them, chapter 10, verse 12, I believe. No, 14. It says, there has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man and stopped the sun and the moon. Then it says, surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Fighting for Israel. Now the amazing thing is, God listens to our prayers too. Does he not? He listens to us. So there's five key things here that we need to get victory over in our life. Just like those five kings were defeated. There's five areas where we personally need to put our foot on the neck of our enemies. Number one is, have you weighed your spiritual options? Have you weighed your spiritual options? Remember, Jesus says, in the same way, if you want to be my disciple, you can be willing to give up everything. Have you come to that moment where you're willing to surrender everything to him? It's like, that's a wise move. It's like, well, why is it a wise move? Well, because he's the king above all kings. He owns everything. And he's asking, hey, are you just willing to surrender and make terms of peace, and I can bless you more than what you've lost or think you've lost, right? And so sometimes you just have to sit down and you're like, man, if God is real, if heaven is real, if hell is real, and the Bible is true, and there's forgiveness in Jesus, just like he said, and he died for my sins so I can have eternal life with him, why not? If he's willing to spare my life from hell, man, that's a wise decision. And this is what I tell people. I tell you guys all the time. It's just your eternity. I mean, why not sit down and think about that one, right? This isn't like, you know, I'm weighing a job here or weighing my drive-through options of chicken or tenders or nuggets. That's not what I'm weighing my options here over, right? By the way, you know what a Hoosier thinks a balanced meal is? A hamburger in each hand. That's a balanced meal. All the guys said amen to that one. Amen to that. And so, here's what's interesting about those people. Remember, Saul tried to annihilate him later on. David helped rescue them. And remember, we looked at this last week when Jeremiah foretold the downfall of the nation and the temple being destroyed. Those Gibeonites were probably thinking, you know what? We are finally free to be our own people. They went off into exile, and God says when it was time for them to come back, they could have been like, you know what? We did our time. We served long enough. But you know what they did? They came back and helped restore the city and the temple and kept their oath, what they had promised from what their forefathers had done. For generations later. Wow. What an example to the nation of Israel. Now think about this. When Israel was in Egypt, they were under slavery. God delivered them through all these miracles, promised them the promised land and victory and all these blessings, a land flowing with milk and honey. And guess what? They complained the whole way. They were not faithful the whole way. And yet God blessed these Gibeonites with wisdom. And you know, we have everything, but we're willing to surrender everything and put ourselves to woodcutters and water carriers the rest of our life because we understand what it means to be spared. They were faithful from generation to generation. To serve at the temple, to serve the Lord. They weighed their spiritual options. And what an example. They don't get enough credit in the Bible. That makes sense? Secondly, God can turn your failures into victories. How many of you ever made an unwise decision in your life? You didn't gather all the intel that you probably thought. He's like, yeah, hey, that's the Yugo. It came out. That's a good-looking car. It gets 40 miles a gallon. It didn't last a year. You know what I mean? It's like, that was not a good decision. Right? But God can turn that whole thing around and give you a Pinto or a Nissan or something, right? He can turn that whole thing around. It's like, yeah, I used to own a Ford. Now I don't. You know, I'll just go. Anyway. But God can turn your failures into victories. And so Joshua says he failed to pray during this whole thing. He made decisions based on the word of God, but yet it says he failed to seek the Lord. It's like, well, there's a catch-22. This was a win-win situation. We don't have to go to battle, plus they surrender, plus there are woodcutters and water carriers. I don't have to think of it. That's a no-brainer. And yet it's still in there. It says they failed to seek the Lord. And so the people thought Joshua made a big mistake. Joshua, you made this thing, this rash oath, way too quick. And so God turned it around as Joshua honored his word. And so are people, as Christians, are we supposed to keep our word even when it hurts? Proverbs talks about that all the time. Jesus says, don't make rash oaths, but if you do, you got to honor it. You got to keep it. You got to be a person of your word. You know, companies used to hire Christians because they were people of their word. They wouldn't lie. I don't know if that's the case anymore. But God can turn your failures into victories. Always keep your word, number three. Always pray. So Paul says, no matter what's going on in your life, how big, how small, always seek the Lord. Get his mind on the situation, even the win-wins, right? We normally pray when there's a lose-lose going on, right? It's like, Lord, I need your help with this. But those no-brainers were like, oh, this is an easy one. And God's like, just pray and ask me all the stuff, right? I'm willing to help. But be a person who keeps your word. And Joshua's like, you know, our integrity, if we break our word, then we lose faith. We're going to be a person who keeps God's word as an example. Amen. They may have been deceived at last, but we're not going to be deceiving back. That makes sense? Always keep your word. Always pray. Fourthly, ask God to help fight your battles. You're like, Andy, I do. Every time I come across something, I'm always asking for help. You ever had a friend who was recognizing, hey, you're going through some tough stuff, but yet you haven't called him yet? And you're like, you finally come to that point, you know what, I need some help. I'm going to call my friend. Hey, can you help me? Man, my car or this, or I just need some help. And he's like, man, I've noticed this, but I've been waiting for you to call me, right? Like, I'm willing to help. Just call me. And so God's the same way. Hey, I'm willing to help. You just have to call me. And I will step in and help you fight your battles. Now think about this. There was five things going on with the Gibeonites. Five nations were coming against them. You ever had like five things come at you all at one time? Like, anyway, what are you talking about? I'm talking about like, hey, you were under a spiritual attack. Maybe your friends were, then your finances, and then your health, and then this situation over here at work, and then personally with your own kids, and it's just like, immediately you're like, what's going on? Right? God, I need your help in X, Y, Z. And God's like, I'm willing to conquer them all. All in one shot even. If you just trust me. You got to trust me. And sometimes, here's what I've learned in life. There is moments where you are forced to trust God. You have no other option, right? And to ask for help. Ask him to step in. He's a God who's undefeated. Amen? Why wouldn't we call for his help? Then lastly, faithfully serve the Lord. Faithfully serve the Lord. They made a huge, wise decision. They saw their failures turn into a victory. They kept their word of being water carriers and woodcutters, all because God intervened and saved their life. They faithfully served the Lord generation after generation. Now, could you imagine every day for 6 days a week getting up and cutting wood and carrying water for the rest of your life? That's what they were willing to succumb to. And they did it for generation after generation after generation. And when the nation needed help, they came back and served because of their ancestors' promise. Wow. Archaeology tells us that they weren't just good water carriers, they were excellent well diggers. So they turned these mundane forced labor jobs into excellence at what they did. They were the first ones to make the steel-powered... No, I'm just kidding. You're like, Andy, that's going a little far. All right. But yeah, they have these huge wells that they had dug, and they did a circle thing into it to where they could walk down and get the water instead of just going like this. They would... Amazing water and well people. And amazing at woodworking and all this kind of stuff. So they took what God had given them and they made it into something better. Sometimes you just have to be patient in those moments. Like, oh, this is my lot in life. Factory worker, this is my lot in life. This is what I'm going to be the rest of my life. Going to do the same thing. And God's like, I'm not after what you do. I'm asking after your motive in doing what you're doing. I'm after the why. Why did they serve the Lord faithfully for years and generations? Because they realized how grateful they were that their lives were spared. You follow me? And why do you serve the Lord? Is it out of gratitude? Is that, well, I just want to be noticed. I just want to, you know, have rewards in heaven. It's like, when you understand what Jesus is saying, it's out of gratitude. He showed mercy to us. What's interesting, all the surrounding nations except for Gibeon made this decision. All the other countries that were defeated didn't take the wisdom of Gibeon. I thought, wow. They really didn't sit down and think it through. Their hearts became stubborn, and they went to battle and were defeated. You can't beat God. Amen. You might as well surrender to Him. Amen. But here's the thing. You do so because He loves you. He's kind and merciful. He's willing to make a peace treaty. He says to the nation of Israel in Isaiah 1, hey, come let us reason together. Even though your sins be like scarlet, I can make them white as snow. Let's reason together. I know you're sick and you're sore and your regrets, but this is what I can do if we just reason. Just come to me. Let's reason this out. The nation of Israel never did. And God let them fall. So we can learn from that as well. Faithfully serve the Lord no matter what. No matter what He's asking me to do. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to do it out of gratefulness. That makes sense? Out of gratefulness. There's an older gentleman that... His wife her health is not the best. She's at an assisted living place. And he's a friend of a friend. And so I heard this story the other day, and it just got my heart. So he lives at home, still working, and his wife is at an assisted being taken care of because of the situation. And for the last 6 years, he has not missed a day to go see his wife and have dinner with her. He's not missed a day. Never taken a vacation. It's like, wow, what a Gibeonite man. I made a vow to the woman I love, and I'm going to keep it, sickness and in health. There's nothing I'd rather do than go see her every day and spend time with her. It's like, wow. How often, how rare is that story? This guy's a Christian man. I thought, wow, what an example of love and commitment and faithfulness every day. God is after faithfulness. He rewards faithfulness. And he loves gratitude. You know, the people of Israel complained over the food he gave them. The lack of this, the lack of that. Instead of just being grateful. There were 10 lepers who came to Jesus, and he healed all 10. But only one came back to thank him. Only one. May we be a people who are always grateful. Amen. And thankful to what the Lord has done for us. When you think about the grand scheme of things, we are a people who are spared. A spared people. Spared from certain wrath and condemnation in hell. It's like, why wouldn't I serve the God who delivered me out of all that mess? For the rest of my life, I'll give him everything I've got. Even if it's just cutting wood and carrying water. I'm doing that for him. Out of gratitude for him. Story of I have an uncle passed away, a distant uncle on my mom's side. Never forget this story. I went to go see him in the nursing home. He was in the military. He's an officer. And this was back during World War II. And he was a vet. And so they used mules to carry ammunition into the places where they had to get ammunition to the soldiers. And he was part of that last regime of carrying those mules, the mule pack, so to speak, what they call them. They didn't use mules anymore, but they had mules, and he was there to take care of the mules and the ammunition. And it's going through all this country to try to spare lives in World War II. American and the world. And he said, Andy, I'd do it all over again if I could save one life. Even though hardship we face, no matter what, the weather, it was worth saving one person's life. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your mercy, your kindness to us. Thank you for a great Savior in Jesus, Lord, who stepped in to fight our greatest battle, to meet our greatest need, and to give us victory over them all. So, Father, I just thank you so much for this story that you put in this Bible so we can learn from history and learn what it means to be grateful and faithful. No matter what. Lord, help us be like those people. Help us be more like you. You never wavered. You never failed. You're a God who steps in and does something. And Lord, help us be a people of faith and action, in deed and in truth. So Lord, just help us weigh our options as well. If anyone's in this room that has never made that commitment to Jesus Christ, I pray they do that right now. They would make that decision, that choice, based on understanding of who you are and what you've done. And they would sit there and count the cost and say yes to you. And put their faith in you and call upon your name to forgive them and to cleanse them and to make them whole from the inside out. So Lord, do your work in our life. Lord, if there's folks facing some battles that are overwhelmed, Lord, I pray that today they would be encouraged and know that you fight our battles, even when everything seems to be coming against us. You can do miracles. You can do victorious things when we call on your name and ask for help. Thank you for being a God like that. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said...